Praise the Lord. If you will, turn that hand clap of praise to the Lord. He is the reason we're here. He's the reason that we're still breathing today. He's the reason that I have a job that I was very irritated at today, bless God. It never fails, Pastor, whenever I am up to teach or preach, my job always runs me through the ringer. It irritates me. It frustrates me. It makes me want to quit. But as my mom said, she didn't raise no quitter. Amen. Gotta loosen up, guys. It's Tuesday. This is where we learn. This is where our relationship with God gets deeper. This is where the rubber meets the road. Amen. This is our last lesson on prayer. Have you had a good month? Has prayer changed a couple things? At least your outlook on life? Has it made you calmer? Has it made you more peaceful? Have you slept better at night? Tough crowd. Without further ado, I'd like to direct your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to go ahead and read several verses tonight, so I will endeavor to make this quick so you can sit down and support me tonight. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in these days. There was no open vision. There's no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, everyone say it got dark. Where the ark of God was, and Samuel was hid, laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." I'm going to read this because it's easier. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." Eli said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "No, go back to bed. I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" We need to pay attention to that. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." We're talking about dangerous prayers tonight. We're talking about "speak to me, disturb me" prayers. This prayer right here, I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer, but we're going to dive in and you're going to learn today. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Now, context. The voice of the Lord wasn't going on at this time. That's why I said the voice of the Lord was precious, because it wasn't heard a lot. And here the Lord is telling Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house." Eli turned a blind eye to his sons who were blaspheming God, by the way. Context. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And we'll go ahead and finish this chapter. "And Samuel lay into the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' He answered, 'Here am I.' He said, 'What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Tell me, I want to know. God, do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.' And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.' And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. You see what happens when you listen to the Lord? Things happen. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. If you're going to help preach with me, and you're going to receive this tonight, give your neighbor a high five, and you can be seated. So I believe context is everything. We need to know that Samuel was given to Eli to serve in the temple by his parents because they requested and they prayed and they were praying for a child. So that's why Samuel is working for Eli at this point. Now the context is Eli did not obey God. Two things happen. When you don't obey God, things happen. Your life will be disturbed. If you do obey him, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but your life will be disturbed. It's up to you which bad you want to choose, right? Okay. The past few lessons have been eye-opening to me. I've missed once. I was able to watch it online, but this entire lesson has touched me. It's really challenged me to dig deeper into my prayer life, which is, one, what we want, and two, what we need. Tonight's the final lesson of dangerous prayers. Prayer is our communication with God, amen? Which enhances our relationship with him. You see, maybe we don't know, maybe we don't want to know, but if we pray, we grow in God. So why don't we pray more? It's the same reason we don't go to the gym. Just push snooze. We push snooze. Snooze. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll pray on my way to work. And then someone cuts you off and you forget all about praying. You know, I'll pray when the music's right. Well, that's stepping on someone's toes. I'll pray when I feel like it. I'll pray when someone good is up there preaching. I'll pray when the music's just right or the lights are dim. What's funny is the Bible says pray without ceasing. Does that mean that you're going to pray all day, every day? No. It just means that you should never stop. You can pray in the car. You can pray at church. You can pray when you're mowing the yard. You can pray when you're at work. Prayer is our communication with God. So you may not know, I grew up in the Apostolic Pentecostal Church in the movement, and I can remember many times that we would schedule prayer meetings. You see, we would have Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We'd have Wednesday night. We'd have Friday night prayer. Sometimes we'd have youth prayer. And then we'd have Saturday night prayer. And then sometimes we'd just have prayer meeting after church on Sunday. And we'd have to go to school the next day. That was rough. And my school was the church school. So I saw everyone 7 days a week. Now, sometimes that was okay. Other times, I know we're live, so can't say anything. It was rough. I grew up with prayer. So you would think that it would be ingrained in my mind and my soul that I need to pray. But the same way that your muscles are, if they are not strained, they will not grow. Our prayer life, if it is not used, it will not grow. And the fun part was, and I am not being pastoral, the whole church showed up. I blame social media. We didn't have it. I know I'm not that old, but we didn't have it. We didn't have video games growing up. We had go outside and come home when the lamppost are on. So what else were we going to do but go pray? Now, we would fall asleep under the pew, as any young apostolic kid would do. Some of you are nodding your heads. Do you know the Bible gives us the gate code to heaven? Psalms 104 through 5 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Sometimes I think we may have it backwards, that we start out with praise and asking God for things. when his word tells us that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I preached a sermon on that one time, and some things don't really click with you until you actually say it up here. I know that's weird that you should have that understanding before you preach it, but sometimes God speaks to everyone at different times, right? So if you think about it, and I'll get to the lesson, the gate code is thanksgiving. And if you had to remember every single gate code that I have to use to go into work, I can't remember it. But if we remember that thanksgiving is the gate code to heaven, our prayer lives will see immense change. My first pastor told me at one of these prayer meetings, after I got done praying, you know, my 7-minute, 10-minute prayer as a young person, I felt like I really touched God. And he told me that I didn't know how to truly pray. Obviously, being me, I was offended. All 16 years of me thought I knew what offended was. I looked at him, and he knew what I was thinking. He said, wait a minute, let me explain. He elaborated. He advised me to say, hey, instead of giving your laundry list of things to God, why don't you thank him for everything that you have and don't have? Okay, I can do that. He then told me that my prayer list isn't something to beg God for, it's something to thank God for. Okay, so I tried it. He walked away, I went back to the altar. I practiced what he told me. And if I can tell you that moment, I felt like I walked right into heaven. I started to thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for my parents. This is what we do with Eli. It's simple. Thank God for my church. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for my bed that I sleep in. Thank you for my job. And boom, the next thing I know, it's like heaven's wrapping me up in a hug, and I'm speaking in tongues. Simple as it is, if I could give you a hack to your prayer life, start with thanksgiving. That's free. The past few lessons we have heard are search me. That's a tough prayer. Break me. That's a tough prayer. Send me is a prayer no one wants to pray. Where are you going to send me, Lord? Who knows? My uncle prayed that prayer and they sent him to South America. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Each of these prayers are dangerous. That's what the title of this month is, Dangerous Prayers. All of those prayers require a level of submission and humility to pray. We have to mean it. And then we have to allow God to work on our behalf after we pray that. The search me prayer is one that submits your entire being to God and allow him to search you and then remove anything that is not of him in your life. The break me prayer is a really tough one. It's almost like when you pray for patience and then you start to see things that you need patience for. I just prayed for that, you know, kick yourself in the foot. The break me prayer is you're asking God to work as the potter does when he sees a bowl that he doesn't like. It's not coming out right. So he smashes it, he breaks it, and he reworks it. That's the break me prayer. If I asked for a show of hands, no one would raise their hand saying they liked that prayer. Because we don't know what happens or what will happen when we pray that prayer. The send me prayer is gutsy too, because you're asking God to work almost on your behalf, really, is, are you really going to send me there? Eric, you're saying send me? And in my mind, I'm thinking, send me to someone at Chili's that I can witness to. Or go to South America because there's someone there that needs you. If you're serious about these prayers, you'll pray them. Two things have to happen, though. You have to be ready for what happens. Then you have to obey what God says. We have to mentally prepare to pray those prayers. The prayer that I'm tasked with exploring tonight is the disturb me or send me prayer. Break me prayer. All of these combined. The disturb me prayer is what Samuel prayed. He said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This type of prayer's namesake is exactly what it entails. It's asking God to disturb your life, to shake it up a little bit. How many of us can say to yourselves, am I ready to pray that prayer? I had to ask myself. My first response was no. I feel like I'm in a good spot. And then now I have to say, God, speak. Your servant is listening. Disturb me a little bit. Samuel worked for Eli in the temple, I told you, because his parents begged and they prayed God for God to give them a son, so they gave him to the temple to serve. That was a break me prayer. That was all those prayers combined. That was dangerous. They prayed, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him right back to you. That's tough. In 2014, I worked at Target. I think I've shared the story before. We worked early mornings. It was not fun, but not terrible. We were gone before everyone started shopping. And I originally took this job just to supplement my income so I could move on to the next stage of my life, buy another car, whatever. I can't really remember. But throughout the time I worked there, I became really good friends with someone my age there. We bonded over baseball, sports, just hanging out, hiking, whatever. And each and every day, at that point, it was right after I experienced that moment with my pastor, and I said, hey, I wake up every morning and I ask God to go to work with me. Simple enough. And he did. And moments would open up to where I could minister and, you know, just be there, et cetera, et cetera. And then on my last day, my friend and I were in the back getting ready, some boxes ready to go stock some shelf. I can't remember the specifics. I just know what happened. And he told me, we were talking and we were both kind of sad because, you know, he's moving away and I'm leaving the job. And he starts crying. You know, what's wrong, dude? Why are you crying? Is anyone looking? You know, that's what we think, right? You're a dude. Come on, stop. Stop. No, and he tells me, he says, Eric, I was going to kill myself last month. And because of you, I didn't. Well, now I'm crying too. And we're both looking around like, who's around? And that's nothing on me, you know, no pats on the back for me. But I remembered that I asked God to go with me to work every single day. I asked God to disturb me a little bit. So I went and I took and accepted this job that was terrible. 5 a.m. No one wants to work in a grocery store at 5 a.m. And then none of it made sense until that point, to where he told me that me just being his friend and showing God's love changed his mind from suicide. When we pray that prayer, you don't know what's going to happen, but you know that something's going to happen. So you have to be ready and you have to obey. That's never left my mind. All the other details, forget about it. But that conversation, all because of a simple prayer. What we see simple shakes heaven. We've heard God is a gentleman, right? He's not going to kick your door open and say, I'm going to work with you. He's not going to kick your door open and say, I'm going to be with you today. We have to ask him. We have to acknowledge that he is there, and we ask him to, hey, will you go on this drive with me? Will you go to work with me? And then he will, and then things happen. In our text, we read that Samuel is unfamiliar with God's voice in his life, but the prophet encourages him to reply to God. He says, speak, for your servant is listening. And as we know, that God's voice wasn't very prominent at that time. But as soon as he heard it again, he said, speak, your servant is listening. Sometimes we might be going through a little bit of a desert in our prayer walk. I know every single one of us has experienced that. We have to be prepared when God speaks. What would happen when we accept it? What would happen if we said, speak, for your servant's listening? Every single person here has a relationship with God. And if we want a true relationship with God, I mean, you talk to God, and you feel his presence, you hear him, he prompts your heart. I mean, you put work into it. then you're going to feel these prompts. And I know some of us that have been around a little while say, oh, I don't know why, but I feel like I should call you. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know why. Maybe I should give a little bit extra in the offering tonight. You know, maybe I should go this direction instead of that direction. You know, maybe I really feel like I'm going to text him and say, I've been praying for him. Those are prompts. But we're not going to experience those prompts unless we have a relationship with God. That's what I'm getting to. We have to put work into it. And I know this isn't in a hoop and a holler in service. This is a lesson, right? This is something that we take down and we scribble back in the back of our mind. It'll pop up when it needs to pop up, okay? I'm not sure why, but God told me to say this. Now, if you're like me, and sometimes you wonder, what's God's voice sound like? I have no idea. I've never heard him speak to me. I've never heard him audibly say, Eric, do this. You know, it's not for me. But I can feel little directions, little points, little prompts. That doesn't happen unless you have a prayer life. Now, I can tell you one thing. If you're trying to determine what is God's voice and what's not, the devil will never tell you to give more in the offering. The devil will never tell you to be nice to someone, okay? God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't mess with that. So if you're questioning that and you're saying, man, I should really call Jacob and say, I've been praying for you. Well, that's not the devil. Maybe I should cook dinner for someone. That's not the devil. I won't go there. Unless you put something bad in there. That might be the devil. There are fundamental commandments. Sorry, I'll get back around. That God has placed within the universe that are non-negotiable. And that's one of them. He is not the author of confusion. He also says that if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. So if you feel like you're not feeling God, maybe you should go talk to him. If you feel like you're not close to him, maybe you should get closer to him. Because he will act on our actions. There are actions and reactions. If we chase him, he will chase us. Now, the prayer that we're talking about is dangerous. It's disturb me prayer. Now, I can't tell you to pray that without saying be careful, because your life will change. I'm not here to discourage you. Don't take that way. But I would like you to understand that your life is going to change. Now, I don't subscribe to any kind of hocus pocus, Mary Poppins flying in the storm kind of thing, right? But when you pray that prayer, things will change. So how do you know if that's God that speaks to me? You'll know. I know that's kind of weird saying, but you will know. Like I just said, it's not going to be confusing and you will know. Because you can check it against, like when you check math in high school, you can check it against his word. You can ask, does this confuse me? Does this create turmoil in my heart? Does this go against what God says in his word? If it's yes to any of those, then don't do it. The more you listen, the more familiar you become with God's word. Like the prophet told Samuel, go and listen. I often say the best example I know is me, so forgive me. But I'm not sure how your prayer meetings go sometimes at your house or by yourself. Sometimes mine just is babbling. I say, you know, God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. I could really use a raise. I could use a new car. I could use new tires. I really didn't like that this person said that to me. I could use new friends. It just turns into a laundry list of things. And it just goes on forever and forever and forever. And we're not intentional with anything. So one of the challenges is instead of going to prayer meetings with the lists of needs, why don't we go with a pen and a blank piece of paper and write down what God says? There's a couple months ago that I hit a spiritual ceiling. I don't think I was depressed. I don't think I was angry. But I just hit a point to where I was just there. You ever felt that way? You're just there. You're not progressing. You're not regressing. You're just there. You can't really move around. You're just kind of constricted. So, ironically, I read this scripture, and I decided that I need to be like Samuel and tell God that I am here. Search me and disturb me, Lord. Your servant is listening. Search my heart and remove anything that is not of you. God, point out my motives if they're not pure. That's a tough prayer. Because you can be on the top of the mountain and you think that things are going great, and then God's going to come down and knock you down a couple. But God did as he says. He pointed out what I was doing wrong. He said, you need to change this and this. And at this point, I'm like, God, stop. That's too many. Let's do a top five maybe, right? Just, that's a lot. I like those things. Just stop. No, he kept going. So I took my own advice and I wrote them down. And slowly but surely, I'm knocking them out of my life. It takes work to have a relationship with God. Disturb me prayers are a request for God to challenge, stir, or awaken someone from complacency or a lack of spiritual fervor. They often express a desire for God to push back the horizons of one's hopes and inspire greater faith and action. I Googled disturb me prayers. You should try it. ChatGPT is a great thing, and it'll teach you a couple things. But I wanted to see what Google's definition of disturb me prayers was. It was pretty spot on. Disturb me prayers. Here are two missions I want you to accept. When you pray that prayer, speak for your servant is listening. I want you to listen. We have to listen, and I want you to obey it. That's it. Eric, that's a whole lot. That's not just that's it. That's it. You know, like when we look at our kids and we say, don't do that, and we expect them to listen and obey. Well, they don't. That's how God looks at us. You just asked me to do this. Stop. Stop doing this. You asked me to point it out, and I did. Stop. It sounds simple, but it's really not. But if you boil it down and you take an aerial view, it is pretty simple. It's just hard. Some disturb me prayers express a desire for God to break through limiting beliefs and give a broader, more ambitious version of one's life. Do you know that we can sell ourselves short? We can accept a certain amount and think that's good when God has way more in store for us. These prayers recognize that sometimes we need to be stirred. No, don't stir the pot. I'm talking about stirred to action, okay? Or awakened to a deeper understanding of God's love and purpose for our lives. God loves us. We have to understand what that means. God's love is fulfilling. It's never ending. It is as deep as it is wide, and we will never understand it. But if we chase it and we try to understand it, I don't think anything bad will happen. These prayers might ask for God to help us pray with greater transparency, risk more, and be more open to his leading. These prayers acknowledge that we may have a tendency to settle for less, like I said, less than what God wants for us. I did pretty good. If the music can make their way to the platform. Dangerous prayers. So what do you think will happen if I pray this dangerous prayer, Eric? Well, one, I think that your life will change and you will be happy for it. There's a quote from an unknown author that says, disturb me, Lord, when my dreams come true, only because I dreamed too small. Disturb me when I arrive safely, only because I sailed too close to the shore. Disturb me when the things I have gained cause me to lose my thirst for more of you. Disturb me when I have acquired success, only to lose my desire for excellence. Disturb me when I give up too soon and settle too far short of the goals you have set for my life. Amen. Are we stopping short of what God has in store for us? Are we truly praying the disturbing prayers that will wake us up at night and God is saying, you need to do this. You need to remove this. Are we truly accepting what God has in store for our lives? I don't think we're scratching the surface. Are we stopping short of the blessings that God has prepared for us? God is a gentleman. I said he will not kick the door open. He's made us this offer. We have to accept it. If you could stand with me. You should ask God to go with you to work tomorrow. I dare you. You'll realize how much better your day will be. I dare you to ask him to go to lunch with you, because you're going to see a waiter or a waitress that needs him. He may bring someone across your path. Take God with you while you drive, because he could very well change the route that you're going and save your life. Do these things happen? Yes, they do. We don't know a fraction of how many life-altering events that we have escaped because we let God lead us. The only thing more dangerous than this prayer is not praying this prayer. What do you mean by that? If you pray this prayer, then God will challenge you, and it will be uncomfortable. He will stretch your faith, and he will humble you. But if you don't pray this prayer, you will miss out on what a God who loves you wants to tell you, show you, and do through you. God is watching, and he's waiting for us to accept the offer that he's extended to us. God has heaven at the ready, and the windows are ready to kick open, but he's waiting on us. The catalyst to you experiencing revival in your life, in my life, in our lives, your family's lives, your job, your mind, and your body is praying a dangerous prayer. Are you brave enough? Are you willing to put your life on the edge? Are you willing to go on, can I say, ramen noodles and peanut butter crackers? Are you willing to go on the edge and live your life dangerously? Are you bold enough to proactively change your prayer life? I think it's appropriate that if we come to the altar, we find a place where we're at, we kneel and pray. While the music plays, we make tonight a monument, a moment where we can look back 6 months from now and we can say, that's when I prayed that dangerous prayer. That's when I started taking my life seriously. That's when I started taking what God wants for me over what I want for myself. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. These altars are open. Pray as they sing.